Sarah Pauley. She's an Academy Award-nominated screenwriter, director, and actor. From her start in Terry Gilliam's The Adventures of Baron Munchausen, through her work on one of Canada's top television series, Road to Avonlea, through her American breakthrough in the 1999 film Go, Sarah has enjoyed creative success at every level. Sarah's resume also includes the documentary film Stories We Tell. That project won the New York Film Critics Circle Award and the National Board of Review Award for Best Documentary. Now my fellow Canadian has switched her attention to writing with her memoir, Run Towards the Danger, Confrontations with a Body of Memory. It's a beautifully written, brave, and honest exploration of the most harrowing stories of Sarah's life. As she started writing the book, Sarah discovered that there was a dialogue happening between her past and her present.
You know, the connective tissue between these essays, because I think on the surface they're about very different things, is this moving through a past situation through a sort of current echo of it. So an experience in the present that sort of dredged up a lot of stuff from the past that ended up going a different way. And it meant that the memories that I'd been holding on to of these past, usually difficult experiences, they became more malleable. Like the memories themselves then didn't sort of stay in this fixed, hard narrative, but were able to kind of move into another state, which was really interesting to me because, you know, I'm someone who's like, I'm very interested in psychoanalysis. I'm really interested in the way our pasts inform our current lives. But I hadn't yet really discovered how much our current lives can inform our relationship to our pasts and how much current experiences or new experiences can kind of change that relationship between us and what happened to us in the past. And that's certainly what happened to me in many of the stories that I tell in this collection.
When you were 8 years old, you played Sally Salt in the Terry Gilliam film, The Adventures of Baron Munchausen. What was that experience like for you?
I mean, it was a really difficult experience, actually. I mean, there were things about it that were obviously wondrous. I mean, I got to work with some of the most talented people in the world on a beautiful film. But for a child, it was a terrifying environment to work in. I mean, there were explosives all the time. There were special effects that, you know, in those days were done manually, not with CG. We were in, you know, very cold tanks of water for very long periods of time. I worked extremely long hours. It was a really harrowing experience for everybody, you know, including the adults on that film, let alone an 8 or 9 year old.
After The Adventures of Baron Munchausen was released, you wrote a letter to the director, Terry Gilliam, about your experience working on the movie. What did you say in the letter?
So I wrote this email years later, and it was when Terry Gilliam was making another film involving a 9-year-old girl who was also happened to be Canadian, and he was shooting in Canada. And I suddenly realized, I was in my 20s at the time, that I'd never actually spoken to him directly about the impact that the experience of working on that film had been for me and how much it had kind of haunted me. And I realized, oh my God, there's another kid going to work with the same filmmaker. I owe it to this kid and also to him to say, here's what could have been different. Here's how I think you could have handled it differently. Like, here's what I think your priority should have been and what you need to watch out for. And so I wrote him a long letter just outlining my memories and what my experience was of it and how it had, I think, when I was younger, really hardened me in some way. He wrote back right away. It was actually not that defensive an email. He did take responsibility for quite a few things. He also didn't take responsibility for a lot of things. And it's not a perfect response, but probably better than a lot of people would be capable of in the circumstances. And then he also allowed me to publish that exchange in a newspaper shortly afterwards when I wrote a piece about child acting.
Mm-hmm. You're known as Canada's sweetheart in our home and native land of Canada, and that comes from your time as Sarah Stanley on the CBC show, Road to Avonlea. You say that as you grew older, you came to see the show as a grave injustice. How so?
You know, I think the show is really problematic. I think that we spent a lot of years really loving these stories of this idyllic past, you know, based on Lucy Maud Montgomery's stories. And there's a lot that's beautiful in those stories. But it's also, it's become sort of this history of Canada somehow, of us looking back nostalgically at this completely innocent, all-white past where, you know, there's no mention of Indigenous people or the people who are like driven out of where they lived and the land that was theirs. There was very little diversity. And then it became even more sort of egregious, I think, when the Disney Channel bought the show and it became all about family values. You know, like the one sort of saving grace about the show was there was something about the collective and about a town, and then it suddenly became about these sort of nuclear families and sort of glorifying the family values unit. As I became a young teenager, I was becoming more and more politically active, and I couldn't reconcile my sense of the world or of the stories that I thought should be told about our country's history and what was being told in this show that I was bound to, that I was bound contractually to for years of my life. My feelings about it are more complex now because I also realize it was a show that a lot of families watched together every Sunday night. I'm very comfortable being critical of the way it portrays Canadian history, absolutely. I'm not as comfortable just sort of smashing the show in the way I used to be, because I do think there's a lot of stuff that people brought to it and that it meant for people that was important to them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very well said. You mentioned reconciliation. Did writing about your experience on Road to Avonlea, did that help you achieve some sort of reconciliation in any way?
Yeah, I mean, I think I've been thinking about this for a long time. And, you know, I've been in therapy for 23 years. And so I feel like a lot of the stuff I needed to kind of work out and parse out, I've done over many years. I think the process of living what I write about was really helpful. The process of writing about it was almost like a process of going, what am I missing here? What am I not seeing? And in a way, like that essay, in the same way that all of the essays have this kind of reflection on the past through a present lens. And actually that essay is written through the lens of going to Prince Edward Island, where that show took place or where it was set, and going with my kids and having this completely idyllic trip there and learning things about PEI's history that were fascinating to me, and really getting caught up in the magic of what that place is and what those stories used to mean to me, and seeing the island through my kids' eyes. And again, it just allowed me to kind of loosen my grip on this resentment I had, which wasn't misplaced. Like, I think it's fair to feel resentful about things that happen in your life that are wrong, but it's not a great place to stay in. It's a really good place to visit for a good long time until you've work through stuff. But I was really happy to move beyond that as well. You know, I had some terrible experiences on that show. I was stalked by a crew member for a long time. Mm-hmm. I mean, I had like some really frightening stuff happen. And my grief about my mother dying at that age was exploited for, you know, scenes in which I was crying about my mother dying. So there were things to be upset about, but it felt really good to kind of go, okay, like I've really spent a lot of time thinking about these things and talking about them and now even writing about them. But you know, look at the impact that these stories actually did have on me when I first read them when I was 9 or 10, this sense of wonder and magic. And to be able to reconnect to that as well felt like as important a part of the process as naming all of the really hard things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. One of your rawest essays is about your experience with radio host Gian Gomeshi, who was accused of sexual assault and harassment. Would you mind sharing why you wrote this essay?
I had a really hard decision to make at the time that women came forward and there was a big court case here in Canada about it. And I had to make a really hard decision about whether or not to come forward as well. And I did a lot of research about whether or not I should. And that involved talking to more than a dozen lawyers and talking to people I knew who covered this as journalists and talking to friends and family. And what I realized was, because my memories were kind of inconsistent about the event, because I had maintained not at all a romantic relationship with him, but a friendly relationship professionally with him. I'd been on his show being interviewed by him. There were all of these unbelievably awkward details that made it feel like I would not be any help to those women who came forward if I came forward too. And of course, this is what happened to the women who came forward. As in most sexual assault cases, there were lots of gaps in memories. There were lots of inconsistencies. There were lots of correspondences that they had not divulged or, in the case of Lucy Ducouture, I believe, hadn't remembered. And so that was, you know, sort of thrown at them as evidence that they must have been lying about the incident itself. But we now know this very kind of inconsistent behavior, this behavior that seems at odds with the incident that's being reported, is, you know, this is really common. This is like common and has to do with how we process trauma, how our memory processes trauma. But I kind of knew what was coming. And so I stood back. And so years later, you know, and I've been working on this essay for years and years and years because I have felt like ethically, I had to tell the story at some point. And I think ultimately what I realized was important that I could say is, I am going to cross-examine myself. I'm going to show you all of the ways in which my behavior doesn't add up to behavior that seems in line with someone who has had this experience happen to them. I'm going to show you all of my consistencies, all of my lapses in my memory, all of, you know, my embarrassing emails afterwards, the cringiest moments of me being interviewed by him on his show and being like strangely obsequious almost in a way that I wouldn't be with anybody else. And I'm going to show you that as evidence that this is what it looks like. It's messy. And, you know, let's stop hurling these accusations at women who are brave enough to come forward, because this is what it actually looks like. And I do think we're coming to a more rich, fulsome understanding that this kind of behavior is normal. But I wanted to contribute to that conversation by kind of offering myself up as a case study in a way that makes me deeply uncomfortable. But it felt to me like, having not come forward at the time, which I've never felt completely at peace with, this is what I could offer to the conversation now.
Very well said. A few years ago, you suffered a serious concussion. And when you visited this doctor in Pittsburgh, he offered you the advice that became the title of your book. What did he say?
So I had a concussion for years, and I went to see Dr. Mickey Collins at the University of Pittsburgh Medical Center. And up until then, for the 3.5 years I'd been struggling with this head injury, you know, I had been taking various forms of the advice of either lie in a dark room for a few weeks or go and do your regular activities, but as soon as you feel a headache coming on or brain fog, rest. And then when you're ready, go back up to it. And his advice was, no, the things that are causing you discomfort are the things you have to get better at dealing with. So it's not a matter of going lying in a dark room ever, actually. Like, if you start to feel brain fog or you start to feel a headache come on, take a quick walk around the block, do this exercise we've prescribed. Now, this was all, I have to be really clear, scaffolded with very specific treatments around vestibular exercises, physical exercises. Like, I don't think this is the kind of thing everyone should just run out and do if they have a concussion. I think it's good to seek medical advice, preferably his, if you have the ability. But I think that his advice was, run towards the danger. So anything that causes you discomfort, anything that causes pain, you need to actually do more of. But it was a complete paradigm shift to say, run towards the danger, like, do the things that are hardest, do the things that are most uncomfortable. And that's the only way you're going to heal.
That's great. How do these four words, run towards the danger, how do they influence the way you live your life now?
I mean, I think it's been a paradigm shift in every part of my life. I mean, I think the writing of this book was about running towards the danger. Like, I'm telling stories here that are really hard to share, that were really hard to write, that there is a huge risk in telling. But it's something I've always wanted to do, is to write a book and to kind of be in a conversation and offer these experiences up as part of a dialogue. I was scared to make another film. I've spent 10 years home with kids, and I've had a concussion, and, you know, I didn't know if I could do it. And I made a film this year. I tend to take on tasks that in the past I've avoided. I tend to just run into experiences that I know will be uncomfortable and take those gambles, which I think in many ways I've just avoided over the years. So his advice to me went well beyond the healing of a concussion. It sort of entered into every part of my life.
That's great. Sarah Pauley, thank you very much for joining us. Congratulations on Run Towards the Danger. It is a very powerful and beautifully written book.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it, and I really love your show.
Sarah Pauley is the author of Run Towards the Danger, Confrontations with a Body of Memory. She's also a screenwriter, director, and actor. You can find out more about Sarah at wpr.org/beta.
The drug war has not just destroyed neighborhoods and individuals and families, but it's ruined policing.
Coming up, George Pelicanos on reuniting with The Wire's David Simon to create the HBO miniseries, We Own This City. I'm Doug Gordon. You're listening to Beta from Wisconsin Public Radio.